It is so good to see you all. A couple of things. Announcements. If you haven't checked out our webpage for the church, you need to check that out. www.mayflowerchurch.com. There's just some really good stuff on there. They've really reworked it. It's really good. And something that's not in the bulletin, the dinner theater, that's coming up. And so if you'd like to volunteer for that or for the meal, or it takes a lot of work, put one of these on. See Noreen. We have some openings yet for that. In accordance with our Constitution and requirements of Michigan statute, you are hereby notified that the annual meeting of Mayflower Congregational Church will be held today. It's exciting. Immediately after church in the social hall. If you haven't picked up an annual report book, see Doris. One copy per family, and we're having a chili lunch to be served after service before the meeting. It's going to be really good. We got a lot of good chili back there. The flower chart is on the whiteboard back there. You can sign up for that. And the 31st next week, Advent House lunch packing after church. Okay, Roger has an announcement.
Good morning. As you heard last Sunday, and as we've all been thinking about lately, our church is going to do something for the Haitian relief effort. 2 weeks from today, February 7th, we're going to have our special emphasis on taking up a Haitian relief collection. And this is kind of in conjunction with February, which the Prudential Council has designated as a month for missions. But the 7th is going to be a special collection, as will the month of February, for the Haitian relief effort. We are going to have a very special anthem that day. We are going to have, hopefully, a red beans and rice lunch after church on that day, and a display that we have made up of artifacts from third world countries. So, tell your friends, come prepared to give for Haitian relief if you can, and it will be a very meaningful Sunday for Mayflower Church. Efforts from any monies made from the pancake dinner and the corned beef dinner will be designated for mission relief efforts. Thanks. February 7th, 2 weeks from today.
Okay. We're all set?
Did you say something about going?
Oh, no, that's laying right here. Excuse me. We got to get somebody decent to do the announcements. That's what we need. during today, there is a weekend getaway. This information is available in the foyer that you can participate in with a silent auction like we've done in the past. And the money for that is going to camp scholarships. So I'll be thinking about that. That'll be through the process today. Pardon me?
Hymn number 246.
And the first hymn is 246 instead of 146 in your bulletin. Okay, let's enter into worship.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join me in the call to worship. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust. And many are your thoughts towards us. There is none to compare with you. You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. The Lord be magnified. Please, let's all sing hymn 246. Please join me in the opening prayer. Thank you, God. You are so good to us. Your love is steady and does not falter, unlike our own. You are faithful and true, even when we are not. Forgive us. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you do. Help us to be the people you created us to be every day, in ordinary ways and places. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The first scripture reading this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 17 through 27. Lord God, it is you who made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You show steadfast love to the thousandth generation, but repay the guilt of parents into the laps of their children after them. O great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts, great in counsel and mighty in deed, whose eyes are open to all the ways of mortals, rewarding all according to their ways and according to the fruit of their doings. You showed signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, and to this day in Israel and among all humankind, and have made yourself a name that continues to this very day. You brought your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, with a strong hand and outstretched arm, and with great terror. And you gave them this land, which you swore to their ancestors to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they entered and took possession of it, but they did not obey your voice or follow your law. Of all you commanded them to do, they did nothing. Therefore, you have made all these disasters come upon them. See, the siege ramps have been cast up against the city to take it, and the city, faced with sword, famine, and pestilence, has been given into the hands of the Chaldeans who are fighting against it. What you spoke has happened, as you yourself can see. Yet you, O Lord God, have said to me, buy the field for money and get witnesses, though the city has been given into the hands of the Chaldeans. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, see, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?
Dominic, don't hide in the corner. No hiding. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm getting a full house today. Here we go. Don't, here they come trickling in, filling it up. Everybody looks so lovely today. Yes? Did you have a good Christmas?
Yes.
Are you having a good January?
Yes.
Yeah, really? Good. Well, you know, I know the grades are coming out soon. Is everybody gonna? Is everybody's parents going to be happy? Yes? I'm so glad. Maggie, is your mother going to be happy? Not quite sure. We'll talk. Well, good. What else is going on? Been to the movies lately? Anybody see anything good lately? No? Morgan, what have you seen?
I was going to go to a play today.
Okay, what kind of play? What play is it?
Robin Hood.
Where's it at?
My school.
Which is?
Waverly Middle School.
Oh, that's where I went. I'm an alumnus also of Waverly. So, Morgan, I have that going on. Except I don't think any of the teachers are still alive. No, I think there's probably a few still there. If we got the yearbooks out, I'll show you and you can make fun of them. What they look like 20 years ago. So, now, I have something here. And believe me, there is a point to this. Sometimes it never seems like there's a point, but there is. I have this devotional that I read in the morning. And I really like, I don't know if you guys know what a devotional is. It's a little book and it has it for every day of the week. It has a Bible verse and then some thoughts about it. And I like it better than reading my Bible because, you know, when you read your Bible, you tend to get to the stuff you're familiar with. And so you read the same stuff over and over again. You never learn anything because you never go out and look and see what somebody else is thinking. I have a bag here, Hershey Kisses. So I was reading my devotional this morning. And the thoughts that were in it stuck with me. Do you see how everybody's eyes are on the candy right now? This is the point. And I'm sorry that I put you guys in this position. In my devotional today, the point was, and it really rang a bell with me, was that we look too often at the hand of God to see what he can give us. And when there's something in the hand of God or there's something that we want or need, all that we focus on is the hand of God. And when it's there and it has something, or we think it's going to have something, that's all we're doing is looking at the hand. But before I had anything in my hand, they were all looking at my face. And they were interacting with me and sharing with me. And the thought for today in my devotional was that we don't often enough look to the face of God and to relate and have a relationship and be open with God. We focus on what we need and what we want. It's not bad to do that, but we need to remember that those gifts come because we take the time to look into the face of God and to have the relationship. So I kind of put you guys in a bad spot. I trapped you, and I apologize for that. But I hope that thought resonates with all of you today the way it has stuck with me. So let's have a short prayer. Then we're going to go downstairs. I'm assuming you two are going to join us after the new member service. Okay. All right, so we're going to have a short prayer, and we're going to head out the back and go downstairs, and we'll have the candy, okay? Lord, thank you for being there for us. Help us to remember that you are not just a fountain of gifts, but our Creator who seeks to love us and cherish us. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's some jobs that are good when you're a pastor. There's some jobs being a pastor is not so good to be. But this is one of the good ones. We get to receive into our fellowship three new members. They come up. And your mother is okay. In your bulletin, I believe we all have these. I'm going to do some reading, and you folks respond, and there's a response for us as a church. Reception of new members. Receiving membership in this church, do you now pledge yourselves to accept the religion of love and service, which Jesus taught and lived, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself, to seek to do God's will,
and to make the Spirit of Christ dominant in your life, in your relationship to God and all people. Having confessed your Christian faith, do you now enter into covenant with Mayflower Church, accepting a share of its responsibilities and duties? Do you promise to promote, insofar as you are able, its harmony, faithfulness, and godliness, pledging to this membership your faithful and Christian love, and engaging in all sincerity to aid its endeavors with hearty and prayerful earnest? Okay, Mayflower members, would you stand? Then we are responding to their commitment to us. Join with me as we read together. We then, joining and rejoicing with you in these professions, do joyfully receive you into its membership and community. We pledge to you such fidelity in Christian love as you have promised us. This we do with a humble prayer to God Almighty and before our Lord and Redeemer, Jesus the Christ, that both you and we may be true to this covenant forever. And let me read the covenant. This is our Mayflower Church covenant. I love this covenant. We are banded together as a Christian church to maintain the worship of God, to proclaim the gospel of Christ, to develop a sense of our relationship and duty to God and our fellow persons, and to be an inspiration for love, truth, and passion for righteousness and enthusiasm for service. To this end, we pledge our loyalty to Christ and covenant with each other to strive to express Christ's spirit in our individual and corporate lives, to live together as Christians, and to submit ourselves to the government of this church, working, giving, praying for its increase, its purity, its peace, and seeking in every way to make it a power for the building up of the kingdom of God. That's just great. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you. I thank you for Mayflower Church and being a part of this. What a great work you are doing here. It's just awesome. And we're just so thankful for that. And then for others who want to be a part of our church family. This is great. And I pray that you'll bless them. They've made a very good decision. And you've got spots in your kingdom just that they themselves can fulfill. And that your blessing will be upon them, your blessing will be upon us as a church, that we may be the church family created by you to do your work at this stage of our existence in this community. Thank you. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. It has reached a good. Amen. Maybe see. It's great. I'll tell you, God is just doing a good work here. It's just really good. And have these folks join with us officially, because they've all been part of us, you know, for a while. And it's just wonderful. Giving. And all shall give as they are able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. Giving. The privilege of giving back to God a little bit that he has given us. Now, I don't know about you. I mean, we're tithers. We tithe and we give beyond that. But we still give back a small proportion of what God has blessed us with. All the good things in life God has given us. And we have the privilege to give back to him a little bit to be a blessing to him through Mayflower Church into our community. What a privilege. What a privilege. So I invite you to worship God with your giving. Father, thank you. You take such good care of us. We are so thankful. And the blessings upon blessings that you give to us. So we take this opportunity to give back to you a little bit of what you've given to us. Pray you'll take this and bless every need of your people who have joyfully given unto you. Every need of the church, and there will be an abundance left over, that your word can be spread throughout our community. In Jesus' name, amen.
It is wonderful to see you all here today. Now, even if you're not able to stay for the annual meeting, if you're not a member, please stay for the chili. And if you like hot chili, oh, can I set you up? I know somebody. Yes, I do. And the auction. So, got lots going on today. Our second reading. Luke chapter 5. While he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.
And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, as a testimony to them. But the news about him was spreading even further, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus would often slip away into the wilderness and pray.
Just a side note. Can I make a side note before I start? Is that okay? I have to wait till I'm going, then make a side note. When Jesus was on earth, he did all these miracles, healed people, and he would tell them, don't go tell anybody. And they all did. After he was raised from the dead, he said, go into all the world and tell everybody. And you can't hardly get the church to move outside the door. That's a side note. I just thought that's interesting. Jesus. Sometimes we wonder, you know, I've been praying about a lot of things. Anybody ever prayed about anything that took more than 35 minutes to take place? You know, I mean, come on. This is America. I can get McDonald's quicker than that. With a line at the drive-thru. We have microwave ovens. We kind of like instant things. And then, we pray, and sometimes things don't happen, and then we begin to wonder. How many people wonder about things? Anybody ever wonder about anything? What would life been like if I'd stayed in California after the Marine Corps? It had been warmer. I'd said that about Florida, but for the last 3 weeks, it ain't been all that warm in Florida. I got to go to California. What if? And when it comes to prayer, sometimes we have questions also. You know, God, of course, is God, and if he actually is God, then God can do anything. I've been praying about this for a while, and nothing is happening that I can see. So I don't know. You know, I mean, God's a long ways off. He's in heaven. It's an awful big universe, and we're awful small as people. What's going on? Well, this man had leprosy. I find this question really interesting. He came to Jesus and said, if you're willing. I know you can. I know you can. I know who you are. I know you can. I've been listening to different people talk about you. But I don't know if you're willing. I don't know. If you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus immediately reached out and touched him. Don't you find that interesting? See, leprosy was... Now, the Bible does talk about a lot of things, calls a lot of things leprosy. We do not call leprosy today. But leprosy was one of those diseases that people were put outside the camp, put away from, can't be around other people. Forbidden by law. And this guy comes in the crowd. And Jesus reached out and touched him. I like that. See, God's just a kind of upfront and personal type guy. He is. He's not just some God off in heaven somewhere doing whatever God's do up in heaven. No. Personal. He touched him. He touched him. He didn't say, whoa, excuse me. Yeah, no problem. I'll do it. You stay on that side of the road. Okay. Don't get too close. Kind of dirty, smelly, diseased. Ugh. No, God's not afraid. He just answered. God wants to get right in the mix with us where we're at. That's the kind of relationship he wants with us. So, who creates this distance between us and God? If there's a distance between us and God, who creates the distance? I don't know. What do you do with other people? See, there's just some people who, there's some people who are up close and personal type people, but they're kind of obnoxious about it. You know those kind of people? The last church I had, decades ago, I had this guy, and whenever he talked to you, he's in your face, kind of. You know? And we had this huge basement under our church. And he caught me coming right down the stairway, caught me right at one end of the basement. And we were having, I don't know, some luncheon or something afterwards. And I thought, and he's going blah, 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 blah about something. And, so I thought, I wonder how far I can get him to follow me across this basement floor before he quits. I'm smiling and nodding. See? And so I just, I did. And say, so he had to approve of this. See? And so he's talking to me and I would just kind of back up. See? And blah, 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 blah. See? He's one of these guys that he never runs out of anything to say. I know we're not going to end this conversation. Because it's actually not a conversation. It's him talking. See? All the way. I went all the way. And I'll bet our basement is as large as our fellowship hall. All the way from one corner to the other. And he was in my face. All the way. Yeah. See? Now, I'm not against personal interaction. I even give hugs every now and then. See? Not a real huggy-touchy type guy, but every now and then I give one. Yeah. Jesus wants to be that way, but he doesn't want to be obnoxious. There's been times where I've had to tell people, you're in my space. Stand there. See, I'm going to take a step back. Okay, now talk to me. You're just too close. What is that called when we do that? Get back. Putting up a wall. Say, you put up a wall. Set boundaries. You're too close. Get out of my space. This is my space. That is your space. Okay? Yeah. In my office, it hasn't moved for, how many years have I been there? 11, 12 years in one office now. I've been doing this counseling for 14 years. Wow. Couch, really nice couch. Should be sitting in my living room. Nicer than the one I have sitting in my living room. Nice big end table. Barb and I went to Art Van years ago. Walked in, that back when they used to be obnoxious at Art Van. And you walk in the door and eight salesmen hit you. Okay? They're not that way anymore, I hear. Walked in. What are you looking for? I am looking for the biggest end table you have. That's what I'm looking for. Well, what kind? Big. Okay, that's what I want. Big. Because there's my couch. There's my big end table. And here's my chair. And it got kind of set up like a living room, so it's not too clinical. See? But space. You sit on the couch. Big end table in between. I'm over here. Space. I like my space. Now, if my daughter was doing this, you know what my office would look like? I don't know, but everybody would always sit close enough where they could touch each other. Yeah, it'd be a circle of some kind. I don't know, bean bags on the floor, whatever. I don't know. Yeah, she's very touchy-feely. So we put up our walls, we put up our barriers, we put up our end tables. So you don't have to tell anybody this is my space. By the time we walk in, we know this is my space. Do you know the way you treat other people is kind of the way you treat God? Do you know that? That's true. That is true. That is true. And sometimes, you know, it's like, okay, God, Sunday morning, when I'm not really busy, not summer. I'm doing something important at the beach. See? Okay, you can come in. Yeah. Sometimes if we put up our walls with God, okay, you can come that far. That's your space. This is my space. See how this works? Okay. Then we wonder, how come things aren't working the way they're supposed to be working? If there's space, who put up the space? We did. Jesus said, Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody opens the door, I will come in." Well, how come you just don't kick down the door and come in? Because He's a healthy God, and healthy people don't violate boundaries. I think I just called somebody on my cell phone. Just a minute, I heard it beep. Oh, we're okay. I slapped my Bible against my leg and hit my cell phone and it beeped. No, but we're good. No one else is getting this conversation. Unless you go online, you can get this conversation. So, yeah, you can. On your PDAs, actually. It's cool. Yeah, Jesus wants this close, personal, in-your-face, but not obnoxious type of relationship. That's what he wants. So the leper comes up to him and he says, "I am willing." Do you know why that's recorded in the Bible? See, there are so many things that Jesus did in his 3.5 years of ministry. The Apostle John, when he was writing his epistle, said, if everything was recorded that Jesus did, probably all the world could not contain all the books. How many books is that? He did a lot more than what's written in here. Why is this written in here? As an example to us, Paul says. Our example. Now, if Jesus was willing for the leper, but not for everybody else, would not have been in here. Because it's in here, it means that not only is Jesus willing for the leper, he's willing for you. He is willing. I am willing. I am willing. I am willing. I am willing. And why does it take so long to get some of this stuff done? Well, notice your prayers that are kind of hung up on, that's taking a long period of time, probably involve other people. Is that right? I'm stopping to think. Your prayers you've been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, and it doesn't look like anything's happening. They probably involve other people. That's why. Because God is a healthy God. God does not violate boundaries. And if the other person is saying, "No, God, not today," then it's going to be a while. Now, God does not violate boundaries, but God is really good at making people willing. It just takes a while. Because he does it in really healthy ways. I am willing. Whatever concerns you. See, this is talking about leprosy. But we can put anything in there. What's concerning you? What concerns you this morning? What is your leprosy this morning? Is he willing? He is willing. Well, it's not bad as leprosy. It's just this little thing. No. 1 Peter 5:6-7. "Cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you." See, whatever concerns you, concerns him. Yeah. That's the kind of relationship he wants. See, like these really extremely social, touchy-feely people. As I was sitting in the bank line one day, or walking in the bank, as in the bank, guy didn't even know me. And this happens to me on a regular basis. starts telling me about his wife, marriage, bad marriage, blah, 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 blah. Didn't know me. I didn't know him. I'm standing in line thinking, why are you talking to me? I'm just standing in line, minding my own business. And why are you telling me intimate things about your marriage to a total stranger? There's people like this in the world. They want you to know everything about them. They want to know everything about you. See, in my business, we call them sanguines. That's what we call them. We have to have them named. Very social, very touchy-feely, very verbal. Just tell you stuff. Oh, man, way too much information. Stop! And no, I'm not telling you all that about me. No! But that's the kind of relationship God wants with us. He wants to know everything about us, everything that concerns us, no matter how small, concerns God. And whatever we're concerned about, whether it's leprosy or the electric bill or candy, whatever we're concerned about, God's concerned about. And Jesus is saying to us, just like he says to the leper, I am willing. I am willing. And all we have to do is open the door, let him come in, let him do his work in us, because we can't do the work. And he is willing. And great and wonderful things will happen. Great and wonderful. That is true.
Let's pray. Father, thank you. You are so good, and we could have took an hour, 2 hours, telling of your goodness, what you've done for us, and everything. We're just so thankful how you take such good care of us and lead us and guide us. And so, Lord, we lift up all these prayer requests, the ones that were voiced, the ones that are in our hearts, that you will intercede according to your perfect will. You are willing. And if we'll just be faithful in our prayers, you'll continue to do your work, even if we can't see it right away. And so touch and heal and encourage and comfort and bless and whatever the people need. Thank you for being there for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being more concerned about us sometimes than we're even concerned about ourselves. Thank you for caring so much. Thank you for having this relationship with us. Thank you for teaching us to pray. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn.